This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy, someone said Thanksgiving, like non-ironically. It's just become a thing now. It's like, it's Thanksgiving.
Is it Thanksgiving yet, or is it not until the evening sets in?
Oh, I think it's all of the greeting cards I'm seeing, it's during the day, too.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The Hallmark Thanksgiving
line?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Someone needs to take advantage of that. It's an untapped market.
It is.
No pun. Would ask you guys to do me a solid and go to Hardee's over this long weekend and get yourself some delicious French toast sticks or the cinnamon raisin biscuits with the icing or, the candied bacon burgers and make a dollar donation or five or 10. Or if you want to do a family or corporate donation, a lot of people are giving $250 because that pays for one child for the entire year. Rach received an email from a teacher showing the backpack and showing the food, which was really, I had not seen it before. And I know all about it. I know it's real. I know the money is going. But then when you see it in a teacher's classroom, that really brings it home.
Yeah.
So that was really special.
That's
so
very cool.
Yeah. So tell us about your exciting news.
Oh, yeah. No, I got an email and I guess I didn't realize how rankings work with World Marathon Majors. It's a whole series, the Boston Marathon, London, Chicago, that's the majors. So it's a series, and but it takes all athletes, like runners and their top times. Long story short, I got an invitation to basically the age group World Marathon Championships. So
Whoa.
It's like 40 and over. It said, congratulations, your time and ranking has qualified you for the World Marathon Championships that will take place within the New York City Marathon next year. They're like, you're currently ranked 28th in the country for 40 and over female marathoners.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
Thank you. And I was like so shocked. I mean, because, you know, when there are so many marathons, and like last year I came in third in the Monumental Marathon. This year I came in seventh, for 40-year-olds. So I'm thinking, well, I was the seventh 40-year-old in this marathon. There are a lot of fast 40-year-olds. I guess I didn't realize that they, too, are coming from all over the country. Hmm. So you finished seventh, but it wasn't like you were a Midwest seventh.
Right.
And so that was, like, really cool. So I'm like, man, I should, like, take advantage of this while I have the chance. Not nowhere near the top. Like, if you understand running, I'm like an hour and 20 minutes, not an hour and 20. I'm like 30 minutes slower than the fastest female.
Yeah.
25 minutes slower than the fastest female, which is insurmountable at this age.
Sure, yeah.
But it's kind of cool to...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's
it's
really
more than
cool.
Kind of cool. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'd get a t-shirt made.
Well, I think the fun part is you get a special bib and they kind of treat you like a pro when you show up. So you're at the very front of the New York City Marathon and, you know, the bib is special. It's got that elite bib. And
neat.
You get a bus ride to the front.
Nice. So you have to stand behind number 27, whoever that is?
Yeah, I do. Wait, am I 27? What am I, 28?
I thought 27. I thought you said you were...
Oh, maybe I'm 27. Okay. Yeah. I can't remember. I have to look it up. But yeah, I have to stand right behind. They line you up in one line. One single file. Line.
Just take them all out.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool. Like Sarah Hall was in the Monumental Marathon. She ran the half marathon. She's the number one ranked 40-year-old in the country.
And how much faster is she than you?
So she is like, I think she ran... she was like high, I think it's 223, and I ran 251. So less than a half hour, but I mean, that's a really long time in running.
Yeah, sure.
So yeah, so she's number one, and I'm 251.
That's cool.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's fun.
Have you done the New York Marathon before?
I haven't, and I've been wanting to do it. And it's just, you know, it's an ordeal. It's big, and you have to get to Staten Island or wherever it starts. You know, it's just, it's, there are so many people. I've always been intimidated by the logistics.
Yes.
But if this World Championships ranking gives me a ride to the start line.
Hell yeah.
That's all that matters. I want a bathroom and a ride to the start line.
It seems like the New York Marathon would be a difficult marathon to run well because it would be so distracting. Like, you would constantly be going like, oh my gosh, there's that.
You know, it's, yeah, I think it depends on where you're at, like as far as how much you're suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had a friend who just absolutely blew up, right, with, he started walking at like mile 22 and he said the crowd was like, oh, and then he started running again and then they cheered. Like, oh. And so he said, you kind of feed off the crowd. The biggest thing is it's a really tough course.
Mm.
It's hilly, all going in and out over the bridges, but you go through every single borough, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
It's super fun. Thanks.
Congratulations, Amy. That's really neat.
I may have to do this. I may have to do this 16 over sprinting thing I've been bragging about.
You should.
To see where you line up.
I'm calling it the Old People World Championships.
Yeah.
You should do old people sprinting. My friend was picked for the Old People 800.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
How old people was he or she?
So she actually was a pro runner. She was the national record holder in Israel.
Wow.
And she is 43.
The 800 is the worst race of all time.
The worst race of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice around the track and you're sprinting.
That sounds
like
hard.
As fast as you can do the 100, that's how fast you're going.
That's what it is. I mean, you're like, it's a 400, but you do it twice.
Yeah.
Like it's
the mile
awful.
Pretty much just four 400s now? Like they run it like that?
Yeah. And you know what? Yes, it's the mile. You know, an international competition, it's like the 1500. They race that at the 1500s, the big distance, because we're the Americans, the United States, the only ones who do the mile.
Yeah.
Really. But yeah, it's really the 1500, but that's how, they run it.
Crazy. Anyone else have anything to report to the class?
Not
anyone have any
level.
Major victories?
No.
I got an email that I am nationally ranked in just sitting around.
Nice.
The over 30 class.
Nice.
Of just sitting around. Yeah. I was 25th.
Yeah.
The
JSA?
You know, a little higher than 26. Mm.
Do you have a, what would you need to have a ranking in Magic like Lucas does? Is it just a matter of playing a bunch of tournaments?
So his was a monthly thing, so it resets at the end of every month, and then you can build it up throughout the month.
So he had a really good month.
Yeah, he had a good month where he played a whole lot. He had a whole lot of time.
Like once had a really good day at Dave and Buster's, but
But overall, to be nationally ranked, if there is such a thing, you would have to win like the pro tours and the things like that.
Where would you say you're ranked at your place?
Oh, I don't know.
One of the better ones?
Yeah, maybe top half. I would say top half.
Nice.
But that's out of like 20. So that's not that many. Ninth out of 20 isn't, I'd probably say eighth or ninth.
It's climbing.
It's creeping up.
Yeah, we could do this for a couple more minutes.
Creeping up.
Maybe seven.
Maybe seven. I mean,
Look, I'm the number three guy.
Like,
it's not that big of a deal.
Second to the very best, and if he's gone first.
Six isn't like unreasonable. Like, that's not a huge leap to say six.
So, like, basically, you're second, but there's like maybe five or six guys that could be ahead
on
of
any
you.
Given day.
Yes. Yeah. I would say overall in Magic, I'm like second in the world, and then there's like a couple million people in first.
Did you see the drama at Casey's in Hartford?
What? No.
No.
Come on. You missed this.
Was it on the news?
On the news. A guy got stuck in a trash truck in the Casey's parking lot in Hartford. And I'm watching this thinking like, no, you're stoned. Like, this isn't happening. And they're showing it. And they're showing him pulling him out of this trash truck. And then they said, the entire event started. And I'm like, say it in South Roxana earlier. So he evidently got stuck in the trash truck in South Roxana.
And they drove him to the Hartford
Casey's, where I guess he was like, so then they had to pull him out.
So
I went to both of those Casey's yesterday.
We were just talking about that Casey's yesterday.
I went to both of them yesterday. It could have been me.
It looked dark. So I think it was either early this morning or last night.
Okay. I'm surprised I didn't get like a wellness check from Dave. Like, hey.
Oh, yeah.
I just saw the story. Are you okay?
He was stuck in the trash part of the trash truck?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, did the little pinchers scoop them up?
It was annoyingly
they grabbed him.
Devoid of facts. Like, like for once, I was like a journalist. I'm like, oh, on KMOX, we would have had all the facts on this.
Where, when, and why?
What if he was like hiding from someone in the trash can?
Because
those
are
big trash cans. You could easily get in one of those. And then the pinchers picked him up, dumped him in.
Could be. People die like that. Happens every year. I mean, not hiding. Well, I guess sometimes hiding in trash, but. But yeah, there is the Casey sign, big and bad.
Wow.
Like, I know that place.
Hey, good for them.
Wait, people die like
hey,
whatever.
Any promotion is good
in a trash
promotion.
Truck. People, people, yeah, oh yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's not like an epidemic, but I mean, people do.
Really?
You can get crushed in them.
Well, yeah, I just didn't think there were that many people going into them.
You can get compacted.
Mm.
Ugh.
For whatever reason they go into them, whether looking for food or looking to get compacted or, you know, whatever it is. I mean,
ugh.
Yeah.
Wow, Will. That's exciting.
Okay, good start to the show. Excellent. This is perfect for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
If you try to attack your team, waits at the window, wearing the face that you keep.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 120. You guys know who D.B. Cooper is, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, Rach, you know who D.B. Cooper is?
Is he the guy that jumped out of the
yes.
plane?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And it's been like the Zodiac Killer, and who was he, and all this. And I think they finally figured it out. And there was a... D.B. was supposed to be... First of all, he said his name was Dan, and they somehow screwed that up and wrote it as D.B. So, you know, but D.B.'s a lot cooler. And he hijacked the plane and had them land and got everyone off the plane and got his money and took off again over the Cascades in Washington. And at some point, we're not sure exactly when, he jumped out and they found some stuff. And most notably, they found a very unique, bespoke parachute. And it had been rigged in a certain way that they'd never seen before. And then get this. So this guy, his name's like C.F. McFarland or something, his kids always thought it was him. Because about 6 months after D.B. Cooper's heist, he hijacked another plane and jumped out of it. And they found a very unique, bespoke parachute at his house.
Yeah.
And they stuck it in a woodshed. And just recently, they came out and gave it to the FBI because they said, and I'm a little surprised they're not in some trouble, seems like obstructing justice or tampering with evidence. They said that they thought that their mom was in on it, too.
Mm.
And they didn't want her to get in trouble. So they hid it for like 40 years. Mm. And so they gave it to the FBI, and the FBI basically said, this is it. Like, it's exactly like, and the same guy made the parachute for him and for D.B. Cooper. So they know that. Pretty neat.
And that's crazy. And that guy, I think it was like McCoy, something McCoy, Richard McCoy, the dad, as you mentioned, 6 months after D.B. Cooper, Richard McCoy did the same hijacking thing, was arrested and then tried to escape and died in a police shootout.
Yeah.
So he's been dead forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty neat, though. Like, that's the kind of thing I grew up with. It's probably why I'm into Bigfoot, like In Search Of and all those shows and the D.B. Cooper mystery, like the Zodiac Killer. That was a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I remember thinking I could solve it.
Well, I remember we found a trunk in our basement. I say we found it. It was right there. I mean, it was not hidden. It was not hidden.
It wasn't hidden.
And a trunk looks like a treasure chest. So my sister and I, we were really little. I don't know, like 5 and 7. Like, it's a treasure chest. Let's open it up. And we opened it up, and there were some, like, skeleton, like a little silver skull with tassels hanging down from it. We're like, it's a pirate. It really is a pirate's chest. It was my dad's from college, and he was a teak fraternity. And so I guess that was the skull and crossbones or whatever is for teaks. But we didn't know anything like that.
Yeah.
So we were convinced we found a pirate chest in our basement.
One of the coolest things, gifts I ever received was when I was little, probably 10. My dad got me a metal detector, and I still have it, still in the garage, and it still kind of works. Mm. And I found all kinds of stuff with that. Mm. And it was just like the ultimate to be 10 years old and out there with a metal detector detecting stuff. And
it was just so fun and exciting. Yeah. Even if deep down, like you kind of knew your dad wasn't a pirate,
right?
Or you knew it really wasn't treasure. Mm-hmm. You wanted so badly for it to be something special mm-hmm. that you could convince yourself in the moment to have fun yeah. with it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I don't think you guys will remember Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Like
do you really?
Bullwinkle?
Oh my God. I saw one on TikTok last night and it triggered me so bad. They always made me feel so strange.
Me too.
Good. And the fractured fairy tales and all those, there was something dark about
yeah.
them. Like grown-ups on drugs were making them for other grown-ups on drugs, but kids were consuming them.
You know what? Why is that? How does Rocky and Bullwinkle feel dark? Because I totally get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
The backgrounds were often a little...
It was very frenetic.
Frenetic, yeah, and almost grotesque in the differences in dimensions and stuff, mm-hmm. right? And that kind of gave it an off...
Yeah, it was very
unsettling
acid
feel.
Trippy.
Yes.
Which makes sense because it's a bunch of creatives in the 70s who were probably
yeah.
tripping on acid.
Uh-huh.
You know, like H.R. Puffin stuff and all of those Sid and Marty Krofft shows. I found out later because I met someone who worked on them that, you know, H.R. Puffin stuff and Jimmy the Magic Flute and all that, it was all drug based.
Yeah.
But it was kids' shows. And so I was watching it on one level, feeling weird because I sensed another level I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
And then like teenagers were getting the joke. And so
it's almost like as a kid, you're like, I don't know what adults think kids are thinking about.
Right.
But it's not exactly this.
Do you think it's still like that, or do you think they've more figured it out? Because, mm-hmm. like, Rugrats was weird for you guys, and Courage the Cowardly Dog was weird for you guys.
Animaniacs were kind of weird and dark.
Mm-hmm. Ed, and Eddy, Angry Beavers.
I think that was very much of its time. I think that style was very much of its time. And I don't think they necessarily have shows like that now, but I'm sure they're
what
weird
show
in a
weirded
different
you
way.
Out, Rach?
I never watched like Ed, and Eddy. It just grossed me out. There was something
yeah.
about Ed, and Eddy.
Invader Zim.
It was like they were always
yeah.
picking their noses or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I said, that was the aesthetic of the time, I think. That kind of like radical and gross and, you know, creepy crawly kind of deal, and that's not the aesthetic now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Seems
they have some pretty dumb shows now. Like there was one called like Uncle Grandpa or something. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Uncle Grandpa.
It was on Cartoon Network. This was maybe like 10 years ago.
I'm an adult. I don't watch
What was the one while you're looking that up? The guys, it was not the Weebles or the something. They were all in different colors. Like there was a purple guy, a yellow guy, a red guy.
The Teletubbies?
Oh, Teletubbies
no,
was weird.
You mean
too.
Oh,
Power Rangers.
The Jiffy Pops. What were they? They were just normal guys and they would sing.
But they were just in their
one
color outfits. Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
Oh no, you know
oh,
this.
Oh my gosh.
Bananas in pajamas?
No. They were bigger than that. They were the biggest thing, bigger than Barney.
Wow,
they
no, I don't
were
know.
Were they cartoons?
No, they were real people.
Oh, the Wiggles?
The Wiggles.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
That was weird.
Isn't that a weird feeling inside your body when you it's right on the tip of your brain?
Oh, the worst.
132 DGS. Happy Thanksgiving Eve. You guys have big plans?
Like for
tonight?
No.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness, no.
Chilling out.
Isn't it nice not having big plans on Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah.
Because it's such a planned night.
It's the best. I might go to dinner if it's not too busy everywhere. I might try it.
Michael just said it's
Michael
one of
just
the
said
busiest,
it's the busiest yeah.
times to go out for takeout or go out to eat.
We'll find out. We'll see.
Yeah, it's a huge
I'll be the judge
eat
of that,
out night.
Is it?
But, you know, it depends on where you're going. So
yeah. I'll probably just go up the street.
Should go to that Casey's where that guy got stuck in that trash truck.
Yeah.
I will. I'd be like, hey, is there any trash left? Or did that guy take it all? Keep the trash?
What's a Rizzler?
You have not heard of the Rizzler?
I've not heard of the Rizzler.
Have you heard of the Costco guys?
Yeah, but I don't know what that is.
Okay, so
I'm going to show you a picture of the Rizzler. I'd like you to swing over here and while Rachel's explaining it.
So how do I explain the Costco guys are a father and son duo who so from what I understand, the father has been trying to become internet famous for quite some time now. He does not look like Wheeler. And he has started creating videos with his son at Costco because they love going to Costco. So they'll be like, hey, we're here and we're trying all the different Costco foods. And then they like stare into the camera really creepily and just eat the food. And then they have like this theme song they sing that's like, we bring the boom.
We bring the boom.
That's what we do. We bring the boom. We bring the boom to you.
Boom.
So that gets stuck in your head super easily. I don't know how I feel about... Well, okay, I do know how I feel about the Costco guys. I think it's spiritually bankrupt content. There's really nothing to glean from it. It's upsetting if you watch it for too long because you're like, a lot of people really, really like this and I don't understand why. And yet at the same time, you find yourself singing the song. So mm-hmm. there's something weird going on here.
Is it a little kid?
It's like a 12-year-old and his dad.
Yeah.
The Rizzler,
his voice hasn't dropped yet.
The Rizzler is like 8 years old.
I think he might be six, actually.
He's a tiny little boy.
What are we talking about?
The Rizzler is not related to the Costco guys, but he hangs out with the Costco guys and makes content with them. And they're all on Jimmy Fallon.
What's the Rizzler
do? He makes like facial expressions. He like puts his hand on his chin and he's like,
okay.
Yeah,
it's all very confusing as to like how he got so famous.
This is so stupid. Like, when are we going to just admit, like, we're talking about kid shows when we were little. I've liked lots of stuff that was stupid, but this is stupid. This is like embarrassingly dumb that we're this into stuff
So they recently went on The Tonight Show, and it was like a big thing on the internet because Jimmy Fallon, who's normally nice to everyone, was like openly disgusted with the Costco guys and the Rizzler, like very frustrated, and he seemed like he was just upset that they were even on his show in the first place. And it's turned into this thing, like Gen Alpha has really taken a hold of this. I just read an article about this the other day. So apparently the Gen Alpha sense of humor is like irony pushed to the degree that like I no longer understand it. Like they like the Costco guys unironically and ironically mm-hmm. at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, I don't really understand what's going on here. All I know is you're not getting anything from this kind of content. It's just kind of like brain rot, like slop that you're taking in, but it's very, like I said, it gets stuck in your head. Like, I feel kind of bad for singing it on the radio because I don't want anyone to be singing that to themselves later today. I feel a little bad bringing it up in the first place, but I just need to talk about the Rizzler, and I need to talk about the Costco guys.
I need to talk about the Rizzler, too.
I've missed it completely.
Yeah. Been thinking a lot about this six-year-old child.
Yeah, well, it's like the Skibidi Toilet stuff.
It is similar to Skibidi Toilet in that it's like, what is the point of this? There's really no point.
There's no point. And like you said, Gen Alpha knows there's no point.
Right.
So I will say this, just kind of like being immersed in the different generations now, Gen Alpha, Gen Z. We may talk about Gen Z, but Gen Z and millennials have way more in common than Gen Z and Alpha. And it's the weirdest thing because there may only be 5 years separating, you know, to a Gen Zer and Gen Alpha, or and it's their different generations.
Let me try this before you tell me about your fascination with the Rizzler. Could it be as simple? I'm kind of channeling Wheeler here. That when my mom and dad were young, it was the Lennon Sisters, and it was Glenn Miller, and it was very polished, and and then with rock and roll and the Beatles and the Stones, it was very raw, and it seemed like this is just noise, and it's ear-piercing. And with humor, it went from Jack Benny to Jackass, but we still thought Jackass was really funny. Could it be that the same thing's happening?
I don't think so in this case, because the Costco guys are not meant to be funny. People thought it was funny that Jimmy Fallon hated them and they wanted to like unironically support the Costco guys. But I can't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. But they wanted to support the Costco guys because they were getting hated on by Jimmy Fallon. But no one was like, oh, no, I'm defending how amazing this content is. There's really nothing to the content. It's just them eating chicken bakes at Costco and going like, that's three booms for me, buddy. And that's the whole thing.
So no one thinks they're talented.
I don't think anyone thinks they're talented.
It's
no.
just ironic. Look at this stupid stuff. I love it.
Yeah.
And
now the Rizzler bothers me because he's what?
It's just
I've never seen like
weirder.
Your soul is deflating in front of my eyes.
Yeah. So it gets weirder. What you see with, like, for example, AJ is the name of the father. He's clearly been trying to be famous for a very, very long time. He's an amateur wrestler who kind of didn't really make it as a wrestler. So he started making TikToks. Then he found that when he put his kid in the TikToks, that they would get a way better response from everybody. So then he started doing that. And that has turned into this, you kind of have to see it to really understand it, because it's very creepy the way that it's perfect, right? Like, you can tell that they kept staring just like they were for about 3 seconds until they knew the camera was off, and then they went back to normal or whatever.
Do they do it at Costco?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they'll do it at Costco. And then the Rizzler is strange, because the Rizzler, of course, being like a six-year-old child who everybody thought when this started, it's like, okay, it's like a dad and his two kids, and they just make this weird content. And then it was like, oh, the little fat one's not related to him at all? Like, in any way, just like a six-year-old boy who, like, pals around with them and
That's why I wanted
goes to Costco and eats cookies?
That's why I wanted to talk about the Rizzler, because the other night, I'm on the couch, and I'm like, okay, I've been wanting to bring up the Costco guys on the show for a while, but I haven't been sure how to do it. And then I saw something about the Rizzler in my Twitter feed. So I'm like, I'm going to check out the Rizzler's content. For the first time ever, I'm going to see what this kid is all about. I go to his Twitter page, and his page is essentially his father, so a completely separate person from the Costco guys, his father filming him running around being cute. And the video I saw initially was the Rizzler dressed as the Black Panther for Halloween, and his dad just filming him for what seemed like an hour, and then editing down the video and then just putting it online. And it was disturbing to me, because there's no other way around it other than to say, like, this kid is being exploited. I get it. Like, he is like a cute little kid, but they're just pushing it and throwing his content out there to the point where he's collaborating with people who he has no organic ties to, and is going on the Tonight Show with this weird father son duo. Like, the whole thing is just very strange. And it's very strange to me that we just accept it and go like, ha, the Rizzler's on. Like, if you look into it for more than 1 second, it's incredibly disturbing. The fact that
I'm disturbed, I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it might just be on a corner of the internet that you've been lucky enough to not stumble across.
Or if I've seen it, I didn't know what it was, and I just thumbed through it. That's possible, too.
I'm a little surprised you haven't at least seen the Costco guy's face before.
Because, you may have, like, and not realized, like, on a banner ad and not knowing what you were seeing or whatever, like an article.
It's so interesting to me, as a professional creative who makes my living at this, what catches and what doesn't. And I will forever feel resentful that things like that catch.
Yeah.
That people like that will make more money than I make in my entire career by doing just completely stupid stuff.
But there's something about it that I think kind of revolts people. Like, they look at it and they go, ugh, I can't stop watching this for some reason. So you kind of have to deal with that if that's the kind of content you're going to make. If you're going to be ultra famous, you have to deal with the fact that a lot of people are watching you despite what they want to be doing. You know what you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, they bring out this level of disgust that, like, you're hate watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she has touched on an extremely important part of this situation that I hadn't thought to mention, which is that this is a new genre of content, sort of like an elevation of, I think, how a lot of people felt initially when reality TV.
You realize right now, people 15 years older than me think they're having a stroke.
That's fine.
Like, it's hard enough on Amy and I trying to figure out what's going on.
That's fine. Look, people, it is what it is. This is the world we live in now. Like, you gotta get with it.
It's like Steve said the other day. I don't know if you heard me say the same, but Steve was talking about something else, Steve, our boss, and something like this, and he goes, my reality is getting further and further away, that I'm just not understanding the world, and it's a real thing. Go on.
When people are watching this stuff, they're not watching it like, this rocks, this is great content, this is what I want to be seeing. They hate these people. Mm-hmm. They despise them. They're like, this is disgusting. This guy's weird looking. He's ugly. His kid's ugly. Little fat one's ugly. I don't like watching these people. But you watch it anyway, because you can't not watch it. And you need to see what else is going to happen when you watch this. You're like, this is really unpleasant to watch. Skip to the next one. I got to see what else they got going on.
And I think you've hit on something actually really, really deep, and something that was anticipated even years ago in some of, like, the dystopian writing, like Fahrenheit 451. And that is, humanity's trajectory is that our preferred form of entertainment became increasingly contingent on cruelty. Whether it's violence, whether it's shock or humor, I feel like we've become increasingly cruel. And what I mean by that is it's really a spirit of like mockery and derision, where we're not in good humor laughing together. We are laughing at someone, and our enjoyment is being like Andrew said, like being repulsed by them. And I feel like our humor, our entertainment has become more and more cruel. Like, I really don't like mockery and derision, but so much of going viral is based ultimately on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was surprised. I'm not big on comment section because I've learned how mean it is. But on TikTok, every now and then, it could be something as simple as like a video of a dog sliding on the ice. And you click on the comments and they're all so mean.
Yeah.
I mean, like it's a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I just wanted to comment on this because you're going to be so shocked at how mean I am to you.
The remarkable thing whenever you see any video or content involving like a pet, or a dog or something. Like, if you see a dog sliding on the ice, and you're like, this is so funny, and you click on the comments, and it's all just people being like, this is a horrible, monstrous thing for you to have done to this dog. How that poor baby is in pain and suffering, and you're letting it happen, and you're laughing, and it's like, oh, my God, people.
Apropos of that last conversation about the Costco guys and the Rizzler, if you only eat pudding your whole life, and then someone gives you a steak, your teeth are going to fall out. Do you think that, and I'm really, I hate that I'm even saying this, because I feel like if Wheeler was here, he would just be crushing me, like, every generation for 3,000 years has said that. But I do worry that Gen Alpha may not have the mental capacity to find other things funny or enjoyable or entertaining if this is what they consume their whole childhood. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I was just talking with someone the other day who said, this is like a third-hand account of reporting, but they were saying, like, yeah, there are teachers in schools who are saying, I can't teach these kids to read because they can't pay attention for more than 5 minutes at a time. We try to do like a word problem in math, and it's just impossible to hold their attention. And it's nothing about these kids haven't done anything wrong. It's just the technology that they've had a hold of their entire life. I would be the same way. I would have. We were talking the other day.
You're like, a product of your environment.
I loved reading as a kid. If I had TikTok, I probably wouldn't have been as into reading. I would have been wanting to watch YouTube all day. So it's kind of a scary time. We don't know what this technology is doing to these young minds, but I think you can anecdotally at least say, like, it is frying some brains. It's making it very hard to concentrate for a lot of these kids.
So I couldn't agree more. And you know how we look back at 100 years ago or 200 and 300, like, oh, people were so stupid. I can't believe they were doing leeches and bleeding. I just read the World's Fair. You know, they had the Olympics in St. Louis in 1904. They had the Olympic marathon. They were giving the runners strychnine. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That poison? They were giving them strychnine because they thought, well, this will help them. And we look back and we're like, idiots, why would you give them strychnine? I really think in maybe even 50 years, people are going to look back at us and say, I cannot believe you gave the kids that technology. Mm. What were you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, I think this technology is like giving a runner strychnine. I think we'll realize how wrong we were.
I think you're right. I think I really do. Because every generation does it. We had the best music. This music sucks. We had the best television. This television sucks. But I've said this before, there's the whole history of the world, and then there's 2000 to 2024.
Yeah.
Like, it really, really changed, and it just seems like empirically, it doesn't even seem like an opinion thing. It just seems like empirically it just kind of changed for the worse in many ways.
Yeah, there's obviously been many, many benefits, but I think you're right. We could have never imagined where the internet would take us. And now with AI looming, you know, on the horizon, that's going to be a whole other can of worms. We all think we know what it might be,
right,
but really none of us have
none
any
of us
idea.
Have any idea. No.
Yeah.
Are you guys using that much? Do you use it for show prep or anything?
No. I mean, I once in a while I'll get on ChatGPT and ask a question if I think I'll get a better answer there than a simple Google search. But with this job, there's not really a lot you can use it for.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm like, do you go to chatgpt.com? How does that work? I have no idea. I've never even tried to use it.
I've never used it either. I'm not. I'd prefer not to.
You know how to use the voice thing, though.
Yeah, you've used the that in the imitator. Image generator.
You're pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I know how to use those.
Because don't you always make Chris Ranji a minion? What is it?
I will look up like Chris Ranji eating breakfast with the minions. Chris Ranji going to the zoo with the minions, but he's the one that's in the zoo and the minions are looking at him.
And then what do they show you?
Well, they've started catching wise that Chris Ranji is a person, and so they don't want to make it anymore because, but I've done like the minions, like Holy Crusades and stuff, and you know, that was a fun one.
And why are you doing this?
Just for fun, just because I think it's funny to show make prep. The AI do weird stuff, to make the image generator.
But he did. I will say for
doesn't
show
seem
prep.
That far from the Rizzler.
No, he's right. Up
no,
the Rizzler.
I should look. I should Google the Rizzler Holy Crusade.
Oh my gosh! But you did show us the dangers of the AI voice generation because you, in like 7 seconds, were able to make me say horrific things, and mm-hmm. I didn't know it wasn't me. Like yeah. it sounded like me, and that's yeah. terrifying.
Some people's voices are very easy to manipulate. I have found mm-hmm. like very easy to recreate, and unfortunately, yours and Chris's are the easiest I think in the entire world. Like
mine's
the
most difficult.
Yours is impossible. I have not been able to make your. I have been.
Craig Guest can't do it. AI can't do it. It's weird.
I have not even come close.
I should be working for the CIA or something.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it is like an unbreakable code. Your voice, but Amy's isn't, and so I
there you go.
Amy's all kinds of terrible.